Good morning, everyone. It is good to be here. Will you join me in the responsive reading? The words on the screen and your responses are in yellow. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments are like the great deep. O Lord, humans and animals you save. O God, how precious is your steadfast love. All people take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, so we see. O, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your salvation to the upright of heart. Our scripture lesson today comes from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 27. Sometime later, two prostitutes came and stood before the king. One of them said, "Please, your majesty, listen. This woman and I have been living in the same house. I gave birth while she was there. The woman gave birth 3 days after I did. We stayed together one night when she rolled over him. She got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I slept. She laid him on her chest and laid her dead son on mine. When I got up in the morning to nurse my son, he was dead. But when I looked more closely in the daylight, it turned out that it wasn't my son, not the baby I birthed." The other woman said, "No, my son is alive. Your son is the dead one." But the first woman objected, "No, your son is dead. My son is alive." In this way, they argued back and forth in front of the king. The king says, "This one says, my son is alive and your son is dead. The other one says, no, your son is dead. My son is alive. Get me a sword." They brought a sword to the king, and the king said, "Cut the living child into two. Give half to one woman and half to the other." Then the woman who... But the other woman said, "If I can't have him, neither will you. Cut the child in half." Then the king answered, "Give the first woman the living newborn. Don't kill him. She is his mother." This is the word of God for the people of God.
So this week we continue our four-part sermon series called Christian Family Matters. In other words, what is it important in a Christian family, and what does a Christian family look like? In week three of this series, we're talking about sacrificial love. How do you define sacrificial love? Let's take a look at how Tim Ross, the lead pastor of the multi-ethnic, multi-generational Embassy City Church in Irving, Texas, defines it.
My love is not going to seem sacrificial until it feels like it. Anybody ever done anything, husbands, be real right now. You ever done something for your wife and you felt like you were dying? You ever did something for your wife or the family and the kids and you were like, And then you did it? That's what it really feels like. It's not really a sacrifice until it feels like you're sacrificing. You're not really dying until you feel like you're dying. Hey, babe, can you do, you get in the bed, under the covers. And your wife says, "Honey, can you do me a favor?" "Sure, babe. Anything you want. Could you go to the store and get me a carton of unsweetened almond milk? But not from Walmart. The one from Kroger? You need it now? Yeah, babe, I was gonna do it earlier, but then everything with the kids and then just, and I'm not feeling well, and so could you? Yeah! Of course I'll do it. Can't even act, don't, why did you even act like it was a favor? What are you talking about? I'm your husband, you should be able to come to me. And you get out of the bed and everything in you is dying. You are warding off the enemy in the background. Can't believe she waited till you got in the bed. I mean, you walked past the bed 3 times and still had on your pajamas. She could have asked you at any point, but no, she waited till you got out of your clothes, took off your socks, got under the sheet, and then put your head, and then she gonna ask. You would never ask her to do this for you, but she gonna sit here and act like, and you're just like, die, die, die.
Well, that's one definition. Merriam-Webster defines sacrifice as the act of giving up something that you want to keep, especially in order to get or do something else or help someone. Now, Pastor Tim, I'm sure, would have much preferred to roll over and go to sleep. He was all ready to do just that when his wife asked him for the favor. Instead of going to sleep, which was an option, right? He could have chosen to go to sleep. He could have said, baby, I just got into bed. I'll go get that almond milk first thing in the morning. But he chose to get dressed, get in the car, and go to the store, not Walmart, but Kroger's, for the almond milk. In the text that was just read, we hear the story of two mothers. Two women who have given birth within days of each other and who happen to live in the same household. One woman rolls over her child while sleeping and then swaps her dead child with the live child of the other woman. And when the other woman nurses the baby in the morning, she notices, this is not my baby. Now somehow, two prostitutes end up with an audience before the king. Now it was common for the king to handle extremely difficult cases, severe disputes, but far less for women to be granted an audience before the king, and prostitutes, it was even less likely. So the story is an unusual one, and it's a story that baffles scholars on all levels. Now, early in chapter 3, God comes to Solomon in a dream, and he says to Solomon, ask whatever you wish, and I'll give it to you. So Solomon replies that he's young and inexperienced, and that he knows nothing. So he asks for a discerning mind to govern God's people and to be able to distinguish between good and evil. So based on this, the story is typically used to point out the wisdom of Solomon. It's extreme. When he asks for that sword, he's betting that the real mother is going to stand up. If she doesn't, then he's slicing an innocent baby in two. I'm not sure how wise that is. However, today we want to look at these two mothers as we reflect on sacrificial love and what that looks like in our families. You see, in this story, we don't know who brought the complaint. The women aren't named, and it's unclear. We assume it's the woman who found she was not nursing her own baby. And when Solomon offers his proposal to divide the baby in two and give half to each woman, we're told that the woman whose son was still alive says, please, Your Majesty, give her the living child. Please don't kill him. The baby's actual mother is so moved by her love for him that she's willing to sacrifice her rights as his mother so that he might live. The other woman's response is a great contrast, as she says, "If I can't have him, neither will you. Cut the child in half." What? So Solomon's bluff paid off, and the dilemma was solved. But imagine how difficult it was for the woman who gave birth to that baby to give up her rights to raise her own child to save his life. Remember, she lived in the same house with this other woman. She would have seen them day in and day out. Imagine that pain. As parents, we make many sacrifices for our children. They start when a woman sacrifices her body for 9 months and all kinds of wonky things happen to it. There are sleepless nights when they're infants. There are sleepless nights when they're teenagers. And there are sleepless nights when they're middle age, I'm sure. I'll ask my mother. Ma, you're out there. What do you think? There are financial sacrifices. Sometimes parents will go without things that they need in order to provide for their children. Some parents may have to give up their own goals so that their children can accomplish their own. Some parents spend hours driving children back and forth from practices and games and other activities. As a parent, you give up what you'd like to do with your time to do things for your children. When my daughter was a freshman in college, she and a bunch of friends were going to see a brand new concert, and they all were supposedly getting tickets. However, when the day for the concert was near, like that week, she learned that her other friends had not bothered to get their tickets and they weren't going. So there she was, stuck with two tickets, and none of her friends would go. She asked me if I would go. Now, I love all kinds of music, so that's not really the issue. It was in Atlantic City, which is a bit of a ride. I'm not really into this band, although the lead singer had beautiful eyes. Oh, and did I mention it was in a venue where you stand for the whole performance? Yeah. But it broke my heart that my daughter's friends had let her down and that she wanted to see her favorite band so badly. So without hesitation, I said, sure. And off to Atlantic City we went. She drove, we came back the same day. I could have spent my Saturday 100 different ways. I was working full time, I was doing ministry, I was probably taking a class somewhere, I don't know. But none of that mattered, because I would do anything for my daughter. I will do anything for my daughter. Now that's a relatively simple example of sacrificial love. It cost me time and perhaps a delay in some things that I had planned to do. But I spent all that time with my daughter. And the best part was her face as she was watching her favorite band as we stood for hours. Her little face glowed. She was thrilled. And that was worth anything that put me at discomfort for her to have that moment. Sacrificial love has many levels. Years ago, a young mother was making her way across the hills of South Wales. She was carrying her tiny little baby in her arms when she was overtaken by a blinding blizzard. She never got to where she was going, and when the blizzard had subsided, they found her body, the searchers did, beneath a mound of snow. But they discovered that before her death, she had taken off all her outer clothing and wrapped it around her baby. When they unwrapped the baby, to their great surprise and joy, they found he was alive and he was fine. She had mounded her body over his and given her life for her child, proving the depths of her mother's love. Years later, that very child, David Lloyd George, grown to manhood, became Prime Minister of Great Britain, and without a doubt, one of England's greatest statesmen. David Lloyd George's mother gave the ultimate sacrifice of her life in order for him to live. As I said, sacrificial love has a few levels. The first level is when you basically do something, making a choice to honor and respect the other person, their thoughts, and their feelings. Like their feelings as if they're your own. You include their needs and their desires in your actions. It could be little things like letting your kid brother get that last slice of pizza. It could be something small like letting your spouse choose the Netflix movie. That may not go so well, but it's okay. It could be letting them choose the restaurant for that night, right? These are little things, and they seem inconsequential, but they add up. And they add up, and they mean so much more than all the birthday gifts and anniversary gifts that you might pile up. The next level is a little harder. This is when you may not want to do something, like Tim Ross getting out of bed and going to the store, or me going to a concert in Atlantic City that I have to stand for 4 hours through. But you do it anyway. You do it anyway because you know how much it means to the person you love. This is a level where maybe you don't want to work overtime, but your family can use the money, so you do it anyway. This is a level where you spend holidays with relatives that you may not get along so well with from the other side, but it means a lot to your spouse, so you do it anyway. When you're ready to sacrifice your time and your attention for the other person, it means so much more to them. And then there's the ultimate level, and that's where the extreme sacrificial love happens. This is the level where you may donate an organ to a family member. They need a kidney, you got two, you give them one. This is the level where you care for your loved one when they're seriously ill. You take them to and from doctor appointments, special treatments. You help them bathe, dress, maybe even eat. You deal with their bodily functions. This type of sacrificial love shows your complete dedication. And of course, there's the ultimate sacrifice, as we saw with David Lloyd George's mother, to give up one's life. I read a story about something that took place in a small town, and it was two brothers. They were playing on sandbanks by the river. And one ran up after the other onto this large mound of sand. However, that mound of sand wasn't very solid, and their weight caused it to sink in. When the boys didn't go home for dinner, the family and the neighbors organized a search. Remember, it's a small town, so everybody got together to look for the missing boys. They found the younger brother. He was unconscious with his head and his shoulders sticking out above the sand. And when they cleared the sand up to his waist, he woke up. And the searchers asked, "Where is your brother?" And he said, "I'm standing on his shoulders." That's the ultimate sacrifice. And I don't think we can talk about sacrificial love without bringing John 3:16 into the conversation. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." God sacrificed his only son for us. And that son, Jesus, sacrificed his life for us, so that we wouldn't perish in sin, but that we would have eternal life. And if we put God first and truly love as Jesus loved, then we will be able to love sacrificially. Sacrificial loves of other people, especially even our family. Sometimes you're just not in the mood, right? It's all about me, what I need, what I want. But sacrificial love is not impossible. We are capable of loving so much that we would be willing to sacrifice for those whom we love. I say that because we are created in the image of God, and God is love. Therefore, we have the capacity to love as God loves. The more we focus on God and the life of Jesus and how Jesus loved, the more our capacity to love will grow. And once we have sacrificial love flowing in our families, we can go forth and we can love others out in the world with a greater depth that will lead us into the kingdom of God. It starts at home with our family. That's where we get to practice it before branching out into the world. Pay attention, starting today. How are you loving the members of your family? Are you putting them first, or are they getting the leftovers? Is it all about you? Romans 12:2 says, "Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." So think less of you and more of them. Because my prayer for you is that God transform your capacity for love to a love that overflows and becomes unconditional and sacrificial. Amen.